Hey everyone, it's Matthew Johnson. Hope you all are doing well, whoever's listening in. If you haven't noticed by the title or from clicking on it, this is part two of the story of how I got diagnosed with cancer. We're sitting here, it is March 26th as I'm recording this of the 2021st year AD. And, yeah, I was diagnosed on January 16th of the same year. So it's been roughly, about, what is that? Just over 2 months? Very crazy 2 months. But like I said, this is kind of the story of that. This is the second part of it. So if you missed the first part, I uploaded that. But I didn't necessarily advertise it like I'll probably advertise this one on the social medias and stuff. So if you're listening to the podcast in order, you should be good. If perhaps you've just kind of stumbled upon this and you want to learn kind of the narrative story of exactly what happened, go to that first if you're interested in how that happened. Kind of what the hospital journey was like and what the diagnosis story was. That's all there. But I also recognize that there were some people listening to this who have heard all that before. So I wanted to make what actually happened and then my emotions and response and feelings to that. I wanted to make those separate, right? Just because I tried to record it all at once and it was just kind of a jumbled mess and didn't really make sense. Talking to you in a podcast format. The great thing about this is that you can pause and come back. So please do. I mean, if this is something that is interesting to you or helpful to you and you can't necessarily listen to it, I usually listen to podcasts driving. And sometimes the thing I'm listening to doesn't quite fit into the drive. And you know the great thing about this is you can always pause and then come back. So please do if this is interesting to you and this doesn't quite fit in the time frame, or maybe you get bored and want to come back later, or maybe you are listening to this and you fell asleep from the soothing sounds of my voice. I'm just kidding. But yeah, the great thing about this is that you can pause and come back anytime you want. So please do that. Again, if this is interesting to you. Part of why I want to do this, I think there's a twofold reason. One is that, hopefully, and I think the biggest reason is that hopefully something that I'm saying can resonate with you, whether you have cancer or not. If you have cancer, you know, I hope that something that I can say over these two podcasts gives you some kind of encouragement. Even if you don't, though, I think that there are things that I've learned from this that translate into my life, whether I have cancer or not. Some very deep truths. Not saying that I have all of a sudden gotten cancer and gained this brand new wisdom, but rather that I think some things that I was wrong about before, or some things that perhaps I didn't see quite as clearly, I now see that way. And so I would like to share this with you, hopefully to encourage you, and hopefully maybe to help you, if possible. And then just second fold, because I also don't want to just impose my experience on other people unwantedly. And I think sometimes that can happen just naturally with the people who are close to me and who spend every day with me. I think there's an element to where, of course, I'm going to talk about the things that I'm going through. Just because you happen to be in my proximity, you're going to hear about it. But maybe you don't necessarily always want to be hearing about those things, because it is a heavy subject. And the topics that I tend to think about tend to be pretty deep. And so I think the great thing about this, too, is this allows you to, again, voluntarily listen. And I don't feel like I'm imposing anything upon you. So it's a way both for me to communicate the thought that I've been thinking to you in a way that you can voluntarily listen or not, up to you. And again, I don't feel like I'm just randomly walking out and imposing my stories or lessons upon somebody just because they happen to be around me. Not saying that's the case, of course, with everybody who is around me. There are people, of course, who genuinely ask questions and are interested and want to be there for me. But I think there definitely have been a few scenarios where people have, just been around me and, I don't know, it could be wrong of me, but sometimes I do feel a little bit of a burden or that I can be a burden just because, again, cancer right now is kind of dominating the last 2 months. And I know that if it's on my mind all the time, I'm usually going to talk about it. And sometimes people just don't want to talk or, maybe not necessarily want to talk about it at that specific time. If that makes sense to you. So, twofold. You're able to listen voluntarily. I'm not feeling like I'm imposing anything on people. And hopefully, this can help and encourage you. I'll make a couple of disclaimers here at the beginning. Right off from the beginning, if you're somebody who has cancer, while I have you here at the beginning, if you're somebody who has cancer, and want to talk, I specifically have AML, acute myeloid leukemia. But I also understand that just cancer in general, a lot of people share similar experiences. If you want to talk, I'm perfectly free and open to you reaching out. I'll probably give out email first. I think that's probably the safest way to begin communication. So if you have cancer, you want to talk, you need some encouragement, or you hear something in this podcast that maybe you want some more clarification on, maybe I don't explain it clearly enough, or maybe you want some more in-depth on, email me, mjryan2, 1221 at gmail.com. That is mjryan2, 1221 at gmail.com. I feel like that's probably the safest way to facilitate some conversation if you'd like to have it, and I definitely don't want to shy away from any conversations that if you're listening, you would want to have. Disclaimer number two of three. There will be a lot of spiritual talk in this and religious talk and specifically Christianity talk. And I know for some of you listening, I know that there are plenty of you who are friends with me that don't necessarily have my specific beliefs and views regarding that matter. So some of you probably just shrunk away. I hope that you didn't click off as soon as the word Christianity came out, but I mean, that's just gonna be a part of what I talk about. I think it's too imp I think it makes too much of a difference on my life to just omit or even to separate and say this is how this has affected my faith and this is how it's affected my life. Like, this experience, even more so than before, has made those two areas come together. What I hope is that you can still listen to this, and even if you don't necessarily, I'm not forcing religion upon you listening, if that makes any sense. Again, email me, mjryan21221 at gmail.com, if you want to have those talks. I'm also not here to debate between Christianity and other religions. I think that that is a good conversation to have, but not one for this conversation right now. But I would love to have that conversation with you and to talk about what you believe and why you believe that and have a good, healthy conversation about that. If you do, let's do it email style. But for the rest of this conversation, I mean, again, that's why I'm making this disclaimer. There may be some language that I use that you may not understand, some things that I've gotten out of this experience that perhaps won't encourage you because you don't have that same foundation or belief system. And if that's so, that's fair. But I would hope that you listen. Perhaps you can get something out of it, whether it's Christianity related or not. And again, if there's something that strikes you and you want to have a conversation, I'm perfectly open to conversations. Just realize that the conversation and the things that I'm talking about here aren't to force you into thinking my way or not. And it's not just a conversation for Christians. It's for anybody listening. It's for you. So, but again, disclaimer, it's going to be a very big part of this. And I'm going to go ahead and start off with the baseline of I believe very heavily in Christianity. Again, my reasonings I can explain to you or explain in a different conversation. But I do, and that very much has affected how I see these past few months and the things that I've learned over these past few months. And so I'll be using some advanced language, some terminologies that perhaps if you've grown up in the culture you've heard before. And if you are Christian, then hopefully this will strengthen you. Hopefully it will give you something that will help you out. Then perhaps you'll understand the terminology a little better. But just wanted to make that disclaimer. If you're just completely opposed to talking about faith at all, that's fine. You can go, but hopefully you'll stick around and perhaps get something out of this as well. And then, let's see. Those were the first two disclaimers. What was the third? And then the third disclaimer is just that this is going to be pretty much unedited, so this may not be as clean as some former podcasts. It's going to be very raw. Like I said, just unedited. I'm not going to be editing certain parts out. I'm just going to be sitting here in front of the mic, talking, sharing from the heart, and then that's going to be it. I'm going to do a very quick run through to make sure there's not like, you know, you can't just hear anything, or like some massive static in the background. But as far as the things that I say, I'm not going to be editing that out, and so just want to make sure that you know that everything I'm going to say is from the heart. All right, massive intro. Let's go ahead and dive in. So first of all, I just want to thank you for listening. That really does, it does mean a lot to me. I recorded that first part, and it all kind of sounded kind of like this. And that was just because some of the chemo had given me a few ulcers. I say a few, it was like 10. But I had like 10 ulcers, and it was quite difficult to talk, I will be honest, during that first part. And I was losing my voice, because I had come back and done PA, and it was like 3 days in a row, and I hadn't done PA for so long that I just didn't do some breathing techniques right, and yeah, just ended up losing my voice right after that. And it was actually quite a painful night after I recorded that first session, and it's taken me a little bit to recover from that, but I'm good now. I'm all good. And so for anybody that was praying for me through that, I definitely appreciate that. The very first and foremost thing that I think I took away almost immediately, as soon as I got diagnosed with cancer, you know, the day of, even I saw this, was just the massive outpouring of generosity from people. It was very encouraging, and very humbling, I think, as well. Tyler, I think I talked to him about him a little bit in the last one. Really great guy. Just got engaged. Tyler Bottomley. He brought me food, and there were a couple of other guys who would have been willing to as well from my Bible study. He was just first to the trigger and brought me food on the day that I was diagnosed, trying to pack up to go to Birmingham. Hadn't yet been diagnosed with leukemia at that time, but we pretty much knew that's what it probably was, and that I had to go to Birmingham on that day. And just simple acts like that really go so much farther, I think, than people realize. That's still a moment that has stuck with me. And just the entire time being sent different things, whether that be in the form of a lot of food, clothing, cards and letters were really, really impactful too. Some people drove up, and I'll touch on this later because that it really got me. I mean, people driving up 4 hours really there and back from the Opelika, Auburn area to Birmingham just to wave at me from 8 stories up for a little bit and maybe talk on the phone. Yeah, that was the very first thing that struck out to me. And then, of course, as well, what's always going through your head, especially, I mean, even the moment that I was driving up to Birmingham, even though the diagnosis wasn't official, I knew that it was probably going to be leukemia. I had no idea how fast it was moving at the time. But I also knew that, and that was the first time that it really started sinking in that I might die. And you know, you go through your whole life and you think, and you especially hear, you know, these horror stories of people who die in sudden car accidents or people who die at a young age who do get cancer. But they're always horror stories, you know, they're always the exception. And you never actually think that you might die and you might die soon. You know, as a young person, it's always so far off in the distance. You know, you assume, and assume wrongly, that you're going to live at least for a long time. Like, hey, you know, I might die early, but it's gonna be in my 30s. You know, my joke was always that, oh, I'm gonna have some heart thing and it'll be in my 40s, 50s, but I mean, even that's decades away. That's 30, 40 years, and I'm calling that early. But in reality, in your mind, you always assume that you're gonna go through college, you're gonna hopefully get a family, raise that family, have a job, get that job, retire, live a nice life until you retire, and then maybe somewhere in there, you'll die. Somewhere far off at the end. Once you've had the chance to live that full, complete life that you imagined for yourself. And the reality is that's just not the case. You don't know how much time you're going to have. And I think that was the very first thing that really struck me. It's just we imagine that we have time, especially the younger you are. And I think it's part of, I think what adults struggle with as they grow older is they realize that you're running out of time. Well, I realized that very quickly. And especially, you know, the younger you are, the more time you imagine that you have. And you really don't. You really don't. Even if you'd never get cancer, you don't know how much time you do have. Because a car crash is always going to be the exception until it is you. And cancer will always be the exception until you become the exception. And then it's really going to matter, and you don't want the first time that you consider these things to be like me when, you know, you're possibly a couple weeks away, or you don't have any time to consider it because it's a car crash. Don't become complacent because of the imagined time that you think you have. I think that was the very first lesson that I learned. As kind of a slap to the face was, I just imagined that I had all this time in the world to follow the plan that I had made for myself. And that's just not the case. We never actually know how much time we have. And you know, the pendulum often swings then, and the very first reaction is, you know, to the YOLO, we only live once, you know, deal. And so just go ahead and get in everything. And that's just not practical either. As far as a. And the reason why is because you only live once. What you're really doing is unsustainably living by creating and doing the best situations possible, is usually what it is. It's what it is when it's misused. It's people going out and doing whatever they feel like without thinking about the consequences. But if you really, truly, actually thought about the fact that you do only live once and you don't know how much time you have, at least for me, I now pay attention to the consequences of what I do more than ever. And instead of just doing whatever I feel like, I now very much pay attention to what I do because I now realize more than ever how much that's actually what matters. And I think that's one of these, you know, kind of close scrapes with death can do for you, is they really reprioritize what's important. Right? They reprioritize the things that actually matter in life. And on my little, I have a list down here that I wrote down of things I wanted to make sure that I mentioned, and I kind of just naturally flowed into my first point. The point being that that's of the things that matter, or the things that I had to learn, is I had to learn what really actually mattered in life. And I think so oftentimes I'm guilty, I'm going to say we, but when I say we, I really do mean me, am guilty of putting things higher up on the priority list, higher up on the totem pole than what they're really worth. School, of course, as growing up, was always important for me to get good grades, to be successful in school, because that was going to set up everything for me in the future. Because that's who I was. I was the person that got good grades, that rarely ever didn't get good grades. I was the person who did work hard for those good grades. And that was who I was. I may not have been the most popular, but I was the kid who generally, I mean, I wasn't like at the valedictorian or anything, but I generally was blessed with very good grades. And so that's part of what I found my identity in, is the person who could get good grades, the person who could think deeply. But then what you realize is that after you get out of school, and once you continue on into the real world, and even while you're in school, you realize that if you've put your identity in grades, those don't hold up for very long. Because you're going to end up messing up a grade. Your grades will be forgotten after a certain amount of time, after you leave school. And even if you maintain good grades while you're in school, you still have all of these other issues of meaning and purpose and future and what am I going to do with it. The point is that me making my identity and purpose found in my grades really doesn't work out for me. And I use grades as an example because that's one of the things that was applicable to me, but we do it with so many other things. We do it with cars. We do it with money, especially. We even do it with health. We value being healthy, and we find our identity and purpose, and we do that. We value life. And the reality is, it's not that those things shouldn't matter. It's not that I just all of a sudden should have stopped worrying about my grades at all. But when you cross that line of caring about it into finding your identity about it, caring about it so much that it becomes your purpose, well, then you've taken it too far. And I think that we do this subconsciously because now I can see all of the different areas where I subconsciously put my faith and my purpose and my identity into things that really have no merit for very long. Because like I said, now that I'm standing here on the... Now that I'm standing here having pretty much had to honestly, quite literally, as cliche as it sounds, look death in the face and realize that I may die, I mean, grades didn't matter at that point. What mattered was the relationships that I had made with other people and how I had impacted other people. At the end of the day, when I was nearly about to die, that was the only thing that mattered. That was it. It didn't matter the cars that we had or the times that those things would break down, or the times that we had money or didn't have money, those things didn't matter. Or like the little stresses of life, the little arguments, the little disagreements that I've had, those things didn't matter. And you even more so realize, I think, and it's one of the reasons why I'm okay, and I think that much good has come out of having this cancer, nearly to the point where I can even say that I'm glad that I've had it, and I think I can honestly say that. It's going to sound really weird to you, I know, but I really am glad that I've had it, because I think it has grounded me more in reality, and hopefully has helped me help others. But I think it has helped me to see, and just in general, be more thankful. We're not guaranteed as much as we like to believe we are, especially in America, where we have so much, and where we're gifted with so much. My mind goes back to the first couple of nights when I had those double IVs. I couldn't even roll over. I'd never appreciated rolling over into bed until I realized that that may not be a possibility for me. I never really appreciated, you know, growing up in a Christian home, always, before every meal, "Dear Lord, thank you for this food, Jesus' name, amen." At least, bare minimum, that. Thanking Him for the food, but now I quite genuinely thank Him. It's not just some pre-meal ritual. I genuinely thank Him for food because I realize now what it is like to not be able to eat. Because I've been physically unable to eat food, and it wasn't as much of a struggle, but sometimes not even be able to drink food or not have the energy or desire to drink water. I'm a lot more genuinely thankful for these things, and they do help you to see what matters. They help you to realize that we spend so much time finding purpose and identity and being the one with nice clothes, and all my clothes and my shoes aren't good enough, or my car isn't good enough, or the money that I have isn't good enough. Hair too. I placed value in my beard. Some people do it more so than I place identity and purpose in their hairstyle. I mean, we just do it with so many different things. And it's been one of the most eye-opening things to me is the different things that we put our identities in. Country. So many things have meaning and value, but we assign them too much value. And we assign them too much meaning. And at the end of the day, they'll fail us all. Because if at the end of the day, even if your purpose was to get a job, which that's another thing that I see a lot, some people, I mean, what do you go to college for if not to seek out a specific job? Some people's entire life purpose is to get a job, to get money, but at the end of the day, you will die. And what happens if you never had the chance, like me, to make that money that you thought you wanted? If you had some idea of a nice, luxurious life out there and you never achieved that and that was your purpose? Even if you don't die young, what happens if you live 60 years, 70 years, and you just never make enough money to get what you wanted? So now you've lived your entire life for a purpose that ultimately has left you unsatisfied. And even what you realize is that the people who do usually strive for money and wealth, they strive for happiness, but they don't end up finding it. And it's not just money and wealth. Sometimes we even place our purpose in a person. And I have to be very careful with what I say here, because I believe that one of those very few things after all this that I've seen that matters, like I said earlier, was relationships. But if your purpose is in a person, and especially young people do this when they start dating, I'm 100% guilty of it, when your purpose is all in on a person, then that's dangerous. Because if you put that person number one in your life, even above the eternal God, and your purpose is in that person, then eventually they may leave because of various circumstances, and then what have you been striving for? Because even in that sense, if there was no eternal consequence, relationships even would be in vain. But I don't believe that, because I do believe that there is an eternal consequence and that relationships matter more than just about anything else. Not just between a significant other, but friendships. The person who doesn't have any friends, and you're the one that shows that they care about that, about them. People. That's the only eternal impact that we ever really have, is the impact that we have on people for an eternal purpose. Because I 100% believe that what we do impacts people for a lifetime. We're here for just a mist. We're here for just a finite amount of time. And it, in the expanse of everything, is really quite short. We're not here for very long. And so, while you're here, bringing other people closer to God, even in your relationships, it should be to be with one with that person, to unite with that person, in order to get closer and grow closer to God and to serve Him together. Marriage is such a... I could completely go off on a different topic. I mean, real marriage and what it's designed to be is such a cool, unique thing. And please don't take what I'm saying and what I said about that as being that you shouldn't care significantly about your significant other. That, I think, is a commitment like no other. But again, if you put it above God, it's going to fail you. Because life is not eternal here on earth. People are not eternal here on earth, and people aren't guaranteed to you here on earth. And so if you're fully committed to this person, but you're not committed to them and not making any difference with them for an eternal purpose, then you're with them in vain. And that, I think, speaking of life, is the biggest thing that we place purpose on and that we place hope in that ultimately will fail us and will fail all of us. The fact that you will, unless from some insane divine intervention, the massive chances are is that you listening to this will die. Be it soon or farther away, you will. I will, at some point. We are going to die. And that is the ultimate... the ultimate thing that we hold on to so dearly. That ultimately... we have to learn to let go. We want sometimes healing so desperately because we want to imagine that we have control over our life. And ultimately you don't. And just like your identity and purpose isn't found in all of these material things, I hesitate to say worldly, even though that's what I mean, just because I do try to change up my vocabulary somewhat from what Christian culture has used so repetitively. But if you place your purpose and identity in worldly things, those things are going to fall away. If you place your purpose in wanting this earthly life to last as long as possible, well, ultimately you're going to realize you're not in control of that. And that's something I had to let go of. And I had to go from seeing all of these things from a limited vision into what I call the eternal perspective. I had to see all of these things from the perspective of forever, right? Because when you look at the things through, when you look at life through the lens of eternity, you start realizing how little things matter. You know, I had one day once I had gotten back from the hospital, and you know, you just have those days where just about everything goes wrong. Like I was taking out the trash either overflowed or busted or something like that. It got all over the ground. I had to scoop that all up. Then I had to take it over to the dumpster, and I was struggling to take it because I was so out of breath, and so I was really worn out by the time I get to the dumpster. Then I had to come back to my car, and I had a doctor's appointment to go to. I get halfway to the doctor's office, and I realize that in this scramble with the trash, I'd forgotten my wallet, and so I had to turn back around, and you know, you just get some of those days where just little tiny frustrating things happen over and over and over again, and it can build up, and sometimes, if you allow it to, it can, those little things that build up, those little frustrations, can turn your day into a bad day. Because we're so focused on these finite things, these small things, that ultimately tomorrow won't matter. And sometimes we let them get to us, and again, I say we, I'm just as guilty. Let it get to us. But I can honestly, genuinely say that even though I haven't been happy necessarily every single day, I don't think I've had a bad day. I mean, even when I was laying in the hospital, you know, there was one day when I had an infection and my fever wouldn't break, so pretty much all throughout the night I was having to stay awake to put cold packs all over my body, and it was already cold. I couldn't have any blankets on, and it was freezing, and I couldn't sleep, and I physically felt miserable, but even then I didn't get emotionally down. And I've had times when I felt lonely, and it doesn't feel great, but I never would say that I had a day just where it was bad. Because I value my days now. I'm alive when I really shouldn't have lived past January. And if I hadn't had medical intervention, I wouldn't have. So it's hard for me to sit here and see all these little tiny things go wrong and see that as a bad day because I'm still alive. Again, another blessing, I think, of cancer is I learned to appreciate that. And I think that's a good thing. I'm not so caught up in caring about my wealth or whether I have a nice this or a nice that or the most updated this or the best shoes. I'm not worried about that because it doesn't matter. What I am worried about is my fellow person. How are you? You know, do you know Christ? Are you broken? Do you say you know Christ and you don't really? Because the reality is that we're all broken people. But there's a solution to that. And I want to be able to help people to find that solution. That's what matters. It's not even myself, it's other people, it's God. It's the eternal perspective. And honestly, I don't even care if I have pain or, like at this point, I'm so far into this mindset, guys. And believe me, it's taken some time to get into it, but I'm so far into it that I quite honestly don't care on the days when I have pain, even though I still don't like it, but it doesn't change the state of my heart. Because you can give me pain, you can give me cancer, you can give me all these things, and it's okay. I mean, who cares if I have cancer for a little bit of time here? Who cares? If it means that I am going to see and know God more clearly, if other people, more specifically, get to know God through that, who cares if I suffer for a little bit? Because I'm going to be whole for eternity. I am going to be healed and whole for so long that I will, I assume, probably forget this very minute amount of time that I've had here. And yes, I have a lot of hope, as you can tell, vested in eternity, but I do truly believe in it. And again, there are some of you I know listening to that who feel pity on me because you think that I'm operating off of a false hope. And I don't think you can convince me that I'm operating on a false hope. I'm just being honest, because that's not how I came about all of this. Cancer didn't hit me, and then I looked for some hope that I would be okay. I already believed this thing. And then when cancer hit me, it became more real. It became more true. And I actually didn't have the hope of extra life here. But what I did have was a peace that regardless of what was going to happen, it was all going to be fine. Because I had this knowledge, both in my head and my heart, that there is a God who knows who I am, suffered alongside me, suffered worse than I am, loves me despite my not deserving it, and he's not absent from knowing what it's like to go through hardships. He's not some God sitting up there having no idea what it's like to feel this pain, to feel loneliness, depression. He knows what that's like. And he doesn't like the suffering that's here. He gives very clear reasons as to why it has to be here for a small amount of time. It's not that he wants it, but he has allowed it. And he has experienced it. And I had full knowledge of that going into it. It's more real now than it's ever been before. And again, if you want to talk about the very specific reasons as to why, email me, mjryan21221@gmail.com. We'll talk about that there. But again, first couple of points that I've learned is just seeing things from an eternal perspective. And seeing what really matters. Loving. People loving me. My brother being willing to lay his life down for me. There's no greater act of love than that. My brother being willing to go, not he would be willing to lay his life, but to go through the suffering of needing a bone marrow transplant if we needed that. He has no hesitation in him. He would absolutely go through pain and suffering for me. That's love. And so just coming to a more full realization of that, and also loving other people in that same way. Even the people who are mean and hateful towards me, still loving them in that way. That's something I've had to learn how to do, seeing people in that loving way. It's not natural to love people that way. And it's not natural to love people who aren't kind to you. It's not natural to love people who don't love you in that way. And I've had to learn how to do that. So the very first couple of points, like I said, is just learning about what really matters and seeing things from that eternal perspective. The second, I would say, is the fragility of life, my lack of control. I already talked about it a little bit because it feeds hand in hand with what matters. But we're not guaranteed as much as we think we are. Like I said, we're not guaranteed to roll over in bed, to be able to have food to eat, to be able to eat that food, to be healthy. I mean, I'm thankful now for even just being able to get up and go to the bathroom, to go to the living room and sit down, to go outside and to drive around, because I know what it's like to not be able to do that. Complacency is dangerous. And we really encounter that a lot here in America. Because we have so much, so often we forget what it's like to be unhealthy, what it's like to not be fed, what it's like to not have. And in that forgetting what it's like to not have, we often think that we deserve to have. And it becomes earth-shattering when we lose things. It becomes earth-shattering when we lose money. It becomes earth-shattering when we lose our health. It becomes earth-shattering when the risk of our lives are being lost. Complacency is dangerous because it does what I was talking about earlier. It breeds the ability to put your hope in something else other than what matters and what is eternal and what lasts forever. Because the more I have, the more tendency I have to put my trust in that thing. Like I said, I mean, I've grown up with food my entire life. I just like to use food as an example for things, if you can't tell. I mean, I've grown up with, like I said, food my entire life. I've grown up with health pretty much my entire life, except for a few bumps and bruises here and there. And so, you know, a lot of people will take that and run with that and say that, or rather, they'll take that, and when they can't eat or when they aren't healthy, I don't know, it's just devastating. And there are a lot of, you know, relationships for me, I think, have been the thing that has been that for me, is that I just put so much energy into specific, significant other relationships, and I go all in on that, and so when that fails, it's devastating. So I completely get how it happens. And I've had to learn that that's not right. But complacency, I mean, when we have those relationships, I mean, we get complacent in relationships too, you know, when we have those significant other relationships and we've had them for a while, sometimes we get used to having that relationship, and so it becomes all the more devastating once it's gone. Don't let that be the way it is for life. Don't get so used to having things that once it goes away, it's devastating for you. Not everything may get taken away from you. Just don't live in complacency. Do a check. See if what you rely on is eternal. And then I think my last point, again, is just that biblical truths and God has just become so much more real to me than ever. And every time I open up the Bible, the more true it becomes and the more real its sayings it becomes, that life really is a mist, that we are going to suffer. You know, some religions will, many actually, will either teach that, well, most of them will teach that, just about all of them, in fact, teach that suffering is a direct punishment for your lack of doing X, Y, and Z. And that's not true, that's not necessarily not true in Christianity. I mean, suffering is a direct act of my failure to be perfect, my rebellion against God. But where most religions stop there, Christianity adds on, and it says God still wants us. He still desires us. And that craving to want and to be known, He fulfills that. I used to, and honestly say, I still struggle with it, up until very recently, with feeling like, well, you know, a God who knows everybody, you know, that's great because it means that it's not exclusive. It's not exclusive, I should say, in the sense that there's no one that God doesn't want to pursue, and that includes me. But also, you know, like, it's nice to be known by somebody else. And I just kind of got this little message that just kind of popped up on my heart. It was like, you know, God knows you more intimately than anybody else could. I was like, yeah. You know, you have all the scriptures of him knowing the amount of hair that's on your head and him forming you in the womb. And the reality is that's true. It's just never sunk in until recently, is the reality that nobody could know me more intimately than the person who created me. And even though I've been hurt by the world, and even though there is suffering here, and even though I've had a role to play in that suffering, God still wants me. And that's by far the greatest gift of all. And the more I explore Christianity and the deeper I dive into it, the more I just can't avoid the truths that it has. You know, even though suffering may be our fault, we don't have to... We don't have to sit there and... I have to word this very carefully, it's why I'm taking a pause, but... We don't have to sit there and feel devalued and unwanted. You know, Francis Chan, a great preacher, talks about two dangerous lies. One being that we think that we're good. And the reality is that we've all fallen short. The second being that we think that we're worthless and that we're meaningless. And we're not. And the more, again, that, and it's a biblical truth that I've been realizing more and more, the more that this becomes less about Matthew, and the more that this becomes about God, this being my life, it just becomes more meaningful. I have purpose. I honestly don't know how I wouldn't be a nihilist if I was an atheist, if I didn't believe in God, because... I mean, I would come to the conclusion that I had no real purpose other than the fake thing that I could create, but no real purpose. And, you know, I honestly don't know how, you know, kudos to them for still being able to operate. I don't know that I would be able to. But there's something that just satisfies the heart about knowing that I'm not meaningless, that I'm not purposeless, but I'm only in that because of God, and that's a gift that he's given me, to have meaning and to have purpose. And that just satisfies all the hurts that I've ever lived with and that I've ever had to wrestle with, is feeling unwanted, feeling meaningless. And again, I'm not looking for Christianity as the thing that finally gives me all of that, in the sense of I'm not examining all the religions and just choosing the one that gives me hope. I'm choosing the one that has the most evidence for it, that logically makes coherent sense with reality, and it just so happens that God gives me hope and gives me peace. And gives me meaning. And that to me will get me fired up anytime. Because I look out at the brokenness of the world, and you probably, if you're still listening to this, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. I look out at the brokenness of the world and how much there is, and I realize that even though it's not great at all, it will be one day. And that even the worst person, by human definition, has meaning and has value. Because I have been given meaning and value when I didn't deserve it. And that changes radically how I see people, how I interact with people. There's no us and them. There's just creations of God. And that love that I've had just a tad bit of a snip of during this cancer time, from my brother, from the people who wrote to me, from the people who took a journey to come see me, from my parents who sat along with me that whole way, I'll finally get to meet with and interact with. I know him, but I'll finally get to see him and to live in eternity with the source of all of that. And I want that for other people just as desperately as I think, I hope that God does. And as desperately, I mean, I can't, I know that. God wants people to more than I do, but I desperately want people very badly to be able to live in that as well. I wrote this at the very bottom, and I'll close with this because I think it's my last point. And I do appreciate if you have listened this far. But when God is our foundation, our purpose, our identity, everything else is going to fall into place. The anxiety that we feel, the fear, that all goes away. And just like the Bible says, death has lost its sting for me. And it can for you too. Pain, suffering, they've lost their meaning. And because God cares for the soul of people above all else, so do I. We don't suffer alone. And when God is our foundation, life just becomes indescribably more meaningful, more joyful. And I can honestly say that after having cancer, I am more content than I have ever been in my life. More joyful than I've ever been in my life. And I hope, can't force, because then it wouldn't be love, but I hope that you can get to a place where you know your Creator, your Father, because He knows you better than anyone else can. And just as He wanted me, He can want you. Or he does want you, and He can have a relationship with you. You know, so many times we pray for healing, and I certainly had a lot over me. And I think that's a great thing. It's asked for in the Bible. Sometimes we get so caught up and wanting things our way, like I said, looking at things not from the eternal perspective, but from the narrow one. We get so caught up in wanting what we want and wanting it on our timetable and wanting now that we miss the beauty that God has in store. We miss the fact that He can work in the bad things to create something even more beautiful than what was there before. I hope I've been able to encourage you a little bit. I just spoke from the heart, so I'm not quite sure how this turned out. My very last closing note is just please, if you know somebody who does have cancer, this is less for me and more for you listening. If there's a part you liked, rewind to it. You know, listen to it. If there's something that resonated with you that I said. But even if you personally took nothing away from this, if you know somebody who has cancer if you know somebody with some kind of disease or terminal illness or something to that extent, please reach out. Please be there for them. This is something that I've realized not just with myself, but with many other cancer patients as well. We're already a little bit out of the norms that you and I are used to. We're out of that with corona, and then we're doubly out of that because just of cancer. I mean, I can't go to very many social events. I don't get to see that many people. And while you're in the hospital, of course, everybody's reaching out for you, and that's amazing, and it's great, and like I said, it's really, really humbling. But then once you come home for a while, and once you're there for a while, people can start to assume that you're fine. And I think also people sometimes are scared to talk. Don't be scared to talk. If a cancer patient pushes you away, that's usually because they just don't sometimes want to face the reality of the situation that they're going through. Don't take personal offense. Just that's when you give them some space. But I mean, sometimes we just need help either around the house or just somebody to talk to. That's definitely been hard. Something that's been harder for me, I think, is there was at first initially so much support, and I saw the best of humanity, and then it just kind of dropped off as people think that you're okay or as they feel uncomfortable to approach you. But unless we specifically say no, I mean, all that I've gotten from other cancer patients is, you know, we need that. We do want that. And this, again, not just me saying that, but others, like, we need that support if you're able. I know not everyone's able, because it is a very tough thing. And not just to always talk about cancer, but to, you know, sometimes we need people just to get our minds off of it. And it can get quite lonely sometimes when nobody reaches out and you're having to do all the reaching out to be able to talk to people. So just, if you know somebody, give them a quick checkup. It could make their day. So, thank you very much for listening. A little bit of a different podcast episode than the normal one. But I hope it was meaningful to you as well. All right. Well, I'll talk to y'all later at some point. Bye-bye.